This morning, I'm gonna do something a little different than what I normally do. Most of the time when I'm preparing my sermon, I try to think about ways so that everybody listening can get something out of it. I'm not gonna do that this morning. This morning, I'm not gonna talk to any grown-ups. All you old fogies in the audience, I am not interested in you today. I just want to talk to the kids and the teenagers this morning. This sermon is aimed specifically at you, so I hope that you listen. I know that there are a lot of times when it seems like that the villains are just cooler. Actors will tell you that it's much more interesting and a lot of ways more fun to play the bad guy than to play the hero. Megan will always choose the red lightsaber over the blue lightsaber. Some of you know what that means. And I could see the appeal, I guess. They have all this power. Everybody's scared of them. They always seem to be better dressed for some reason. And there have been a lot of bad guys throughout human history. And what is really sad is that you can really see that when you look at the kings of Israel. Now, there's two different places that we can go in the Bible if we want to find out everything about the kings from Israel and Judah. You can look in 1 and 2 Kings and in 1 and 2 Chronicles. Those two places, the same stories, different details here or there, but those are the two places in the Old Testament where you can hear about that. And when you look at that line, it seems that there sure were a lot more villains than heroes when you look at those kings. I don't know why so many of them stopped following God, started worshiping idols, and they made a lot of poor choices because of that, and God did not appreciate this. You can take a look at Manasseh. He was a very evil king, and he reigned for 55 years, so that's a lot of bad choices. And the Lord became so upset with Manasseh that he told the prophets in 2 Kings, he said, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon Jerusalem and Judah such disaster that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle." That is bad news. When Manasseh died, he was buried, and then his son, Amon, became the king. And it was a case of like father, like son. We're told Amon's short story. Remember, Manasseh ruled for 55 years. Amon's story, a little bit short. 2 Kings 21, Amon, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. He followed completely the ways of his father, worshiping the idols his father had worshipped and bowing down to them. He forsook the Lord, the God of his ancestors. He did not walk in obedience to him. Amon's officials conspired against him and assassinated the king in his palace. Then the people of the land killed all who had plotted against King Amon, and they made Josiah, his son, king in his place. So the people, they had endured evil King Manasseh, and they thought they were going through the same stuff with his evil son, Amon, and so they said, enough is enough. They plotted together, and they assassinated the king. Then all the other people said, well, that's great, but we don't like you because you're murderers. So they killed all them too. So that left Amon's young son, Josiah, to be the next king. And you'd think that Josiah would carry on in the evil ways of his father and of his grandfather. And there's a couple of reasons why you might think that. First of all, Josiah was only 8 years old when he became the king. 8. Can you imagine an 8-year-old being the ruler of an entire country? I have 8-year-olds. If Jenna were in charge of a country, half the budget would be spent on stuffed animals and Sour Patch Kids. Melody would want to put the Batman symbol on every building, which would be cool. But you would think that because he was so young, he would easily be influenced by the people around him. He had to have advisors. You know it wasn't the advisors that was responsible for his father's assassinations, because they got rid of him. So there's these new advisors. But anyway, with an 8-year-old king, who's running the show? Well, the truth is, we don't know. But we do know this. Josiah did not inherit the evil ways of his father and his grandfather. Something or someone turned him around to the good. We're told in 2 Kings 22, Josiah was 8 years old when he became the king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Now we know about his evil father and grandfather. But I think it's interesting that in this passage, the Holy Spirit thought it was important that we know who his mother was and his grandparents. Were they the influence for good? I don't know. I do know that the name Jedidiah means beloved of Jehovah. And I know it's just a name, but young people, I want you to listen to this. Please listen to your mothers and your grandmothers and your great-grandmothers. They've been alive for a really, really long time. And they've learned some things about life. And the older you get, the wiser they're going to become. So listen to what they have to say. Another thing, another reason you might think Josiah was going to be evil, like we said before, was because of his lineage. After all, Josiah's examples weren't that great, were they? His grandfather, Manasseh, sacrificed his own son to a god, a fake god named Molech. He rebuilt places of worship and sacrifice to another false goddess named Asherah, and he did that in the temple of God. He put up idols to Asherah. The Lord was really mad about that last part. The temple was his house, and Manasseh had put up false idols in his house. God was so mad, he decided that he was not just going to get rid of Manasseh, he was going to get rid of all of Manasseh's family and lineage after that. Listen to what God said. He said, I will stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line used against Samaria and the plumb line used against the house of Ahab. I will wipe out Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Now, there was a time when there weren't dishwashers. You had to wash everything by hand. And what had happened was that Jerusalem and the land had become so filthy, so dirty, because of the choices that Manasseh had made, that God said, I'm going to take Jerusalem like a dish, I'm going to wipe all of that dirt out, and I'm just going to be done with it. That's what God felt he needed to do to not just Manasseh, but all of Manasseh's family. So it would be natural to assume that Josiah would behave just like the two kings that were before him. After all, what could they expect an 8-year-old to do? There's no way he could turn things completely around. But he did. He did. Look back about who in this verse it says Josiah's father was. God doesn't say that Amon was Josiah's father. It doesn't say that Manasseh was Josiah's father. Who does he compare his father to? David. That means Josiah had the same kind of heart for God that David had. And we know that David was a man after God's own heart. He did not turn to the right. He did not turn to the left. He had a heart for God. Then some time passes, and we get, in my opinion, the most important verse in the life of Josiah. 2 Chronicles 34. Oh, see, I made that point, and I made the slide for it, too. How about that? Anyway. 2 Chronicles 34:3. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. He's now 16. And a very important thing is said. When he was young, he decided to seek God. He decided to seek God when he was young. He was obviously a good boy. He had a good heart. But when he was a teenager, he decided, you know what, that's not enough. I want to know what else I can do. I want to find more ways that I can make God happy. It wasn't just that he didn't do bad things. He was actively looking to do good things. And he decided to do that when he was 16. Do you think it's just enough for God that you're sitting there not misbehaving? Sometimes when I have to have some really difficult conversations with the students that I have, and we got to talk about their behavior, a lot of times they'll say, but I didn't do anything. And I'll say, exactly, you didn't do anything. It's not that you've got to stop doing bad things. You've got to start doing good things to really have God be pleased with the gifts that he's given you. So, young people, I want you to make the decision now to seek God and find ways to work for him. You don't have to wait until you're 16. And if you are a teenager, are you seeking God? Or do you think that just not doing bad stuff is enough? So, Josiah is seeking how to please God, and he looks around and he recognizes that all of these altars and all of these idols are still around in his kingdom. He lives in Jerusalem, but all over his land, there's still all these old evil things. He knows that there's only one God. He wants to make sure everybody else in the whole land understands that too. And so he goes throughout the whole kingdom, getting rid of any memory of false gods. and man, he is not messing around. Listen to what Josiah does and how he tackles all of these idols and these altars. Starting in 2 Chronicles 34, verses 4 through 7. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them. He smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. These he broke into pieces and scattered all over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars. And so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles, and crushed the idols to powder, and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel, and then he went back to Jerusalem. Josiah was not messing around. He did not want these things dedicated to false gods in his kingdom. He knows there's only one true God. He's the leader of the kingdom, and he has the influence and the power to make God happy everywhere. And so he does it. So some more time passes. More years go by now. He's been king for a while. He's been doing a lot of amazing things for God, but he's still a young man. You know, he's younger than me, at least.
I know, Josh. Dinosaurs are younger than you.
But he's still a young guy. And Josiah is still seeking God and trying to look for ways to work harder for God. And he looks around and he sees the temple, God's house. And it's just looking kind of shabby. It needs some fixing up. It needs some HGTV remodeling crew to come in and work on it. In the next verse, 2 Chronicles 34 and 8. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of Jehoaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord. First of all, if you're looking for names for your pets, there's a lot of good ones right here. So, Josiah, he sends his secretary, Shaphan. Shaphan, that's a great name, to the temple. He goes to the high priest to do an audit of the temple treasury. There was a renovation project going on, and the project seemed to do with rebuilding the altars to the Lord and tearing down all those false idol places. And so Josiah, he wanted to make sure there was enough money to pay the workers. So he called for an audit. If you want to know more about what an audit is, you can talk to Miss Tara and Miss Paul. They can explain it a whole lot better than I can. It has to do with counting stuff. But the interesting thing was, Josiah wanted to make sure that all the people and all the artists that were working on this temple were going to get paid. But they had already started. They weren't even really asking to get paid. They wanted to work on the temple. Somehow, during the years of Josiah's leadership, a whole new spirit came over the whole land of Israel. They wanted to try to make God happy too. They freely gave their gifts of money and time and talent to the renovation of the temple. But Josiah wanted to make sure that they were going to get paid. So Josiah said this to his secretary, Shaphan. He said, have them entrusted to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings. What a guy. What this means is there's a whole new day in Israel and Judah right now. The people are generous. They're honest. They're apparently eager to work hard and to do what's right. And their good king Josiah was the kind of example that Judah had not seen in a really long, long time. And the people really responded to him. But during this cleanup and the remodeling of the temple, an amazing thing happened that really opened Josiah's eyes about the truth and about all this hard work that he had been doing. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken to the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, "Your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and workers." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. All right, so let's break down what happened here. Josiah's secretary, Shaphan, hustled over to the temple to talk with Hilkiah, the high priest, another great name, Hilkiah. And the priest, as the priest is handing over the money to Shaphan, he goes, hey, guess what? While we were cleaning up, pulled out a baseboard, back in there was a book. Oh, okay. That's cool. What kind of book is it? It's a book of the law. Book of the law. Book of the law. Okay, what law? Law given to Moses. Okay. Who's Moses? Now you might kind of think that's odd. But you see, after generations of idol worship and influence, the people of Judah had lost touch completely with their history and their religious roots. Have you ever heard that saying, if you don't use it, you lose it? You ever heard that before? If you don't practice stuff, it doesn't take long to lose your memory of it. And that is absolutely true when it comes to worshiping God as well. Somehow, if someone were to come along and take every Bible away from us, and they were to shut down our churches and made it like a place of idolatry, it might not take that long for some people to forget their faith altogether. Remember how the Israelites, when they were slaves in Egypt, they didn't even remember who Joseph was. Joseph was the second in command of Egypt. He was the reason they were there, but so much time had passed. By the time Moses came around, Israelites didn't even know who Joseph was. Now, history is repeating itself. Judah doesn't remember the law. They had no remembrance of Moses. In fact, their memory had been so bad, Judah hadn't celebrated the Passover in generations. This was the most important feast in all of their religion, and they had forgotten to even do it. They had forgotten it was even a thing. That's how bad it had gotten. If we were to do away with the Lord's Supper, if we just stopped doing the Lord's Supper, it might be a while before people just forgot that Jesus died on the cross at all. That's why we remember him. So Hilkiah the high priest, he says to Shaphan, "I'll tell you what, just take the book to the king. He'll know what to do with it." So the secretary, he does that. He goes before King Josiah and he says, "Hey, the priest, Hilkiah, you know Hilkiah? He found this book." And so Josiah says, "Read it to me." And he reads King Josiah what was written there. Now, most Bible historians think that the book that they found was like the first couple of chapters of Deuteronomy. That is what was found, and that was what was read. Have you read Deuteronomy lately? It's not the most exciting read. There's no giants, there's no floods, nothing. But to Josiah, it was like magic hearing these words for the very first time. We don't know whether Manasseh or Amon had destroyed the copies used by the priests and the Levites, but apparently God's word, it just wasn't around. Whenever people do not read the Bible and they just think they understand the Bible, they end up doing what they feel is right, and what they think that God wants from them. But they're never really sure unless they read it for themselves. If you are only doing what you feel is right, then it stops being about God. So Josiah, he'd never heard this before. And when he listens to the words of the book, he becomes very worried and sad by how far the people of God have been removed from their faith. He was so sad, not for himself only, but for all of his people. And he was filled with such emotion that he started to tear his clothes. Because that was something they did back then, when they were sad. And so, he's really worried, and he sends for the high priest. And he says to him, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that's been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book." I'm worried, young people, that we're in a time when going to church doesn't mean as much as it used to. There was times when people just kind of flocked to church, and every Sunday morning somebody was in some kind of church. And that's not really true. Fewer and fewer people are going to church. And a lot of times you hear people say something like, "Well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious." You know what that means? That means I just kind of want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Because it makes me feel happy in my heart. That's probably what Josiah had been doing this whole time. He did not know exactly what God wanted him to do. Josiah had a good heart. He'd been doing good work. But he still had no clue about what God's word really said. There were some major things he was leaving out. And when he learned this, he didn't just sit back and say, "Well, you know, God knows I'm good. And I've been working really, really hard. And I've been doing a lot of things. And I've been saying, 'God, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you,' for years now. So I'm sure God will be okay if I'm leaving out some of this big stuff." That is not what Josiah said. He was sad that he had misunderstood God so much and he wanted to take care of it right away. And this is also a good part in the lesson that I want us to remember. No matter how evil it gets, no matter how much evil people might try, God will never let the Bible be totally destroyed. There will always be copies of God's word floating around somewhere to lead people back to God. Evil men have tried for thousands of years to destroy every last Bible on the planet, but they can't do it because God won't let them. And that Bible that you have, the Bible that you read from, is the one that God wants you to read, and it's worded just the way God wants it worded, and you can count on that. So now, Josiah is really worried about God. God might be mad with him and everybody. Because he's Manasseh's grandson. And you remember what God said about Manasseh? He was worried about that. So he goes to see a woman, a prophetess, named Huldah. Huldah. To talk to God for him. And here we have another great and important lesson. God uses girls too. Sometimes you might think that God only uses boys, or that only boys can teach people, but God uses girls too. And this is someone telling Josiah exactly what God has said. And this is what Huldah tells Josiah that God has told her. "Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have also heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring to this place." Now, Josiah had been doing good things to make God happy, but it was not all of the good things that had pleased God the most. It was his heart. It was Josiah's heart. In fact, when he learned that he was doing things just like God wanted him to, when he found out he was not doing things just like God wanted him to, Josiah changed. And that is what saved the nation from the big plague disaster. So now Josiah, because he's a good king, he wants to make sure everybody understands and that everybody has a chance to make God happy just like he has. And so he has to make his people understand. So then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites, all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that has been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin join in. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. I think this is a pretty cool story. I think the story of Josiah is amazing. And remember, it's not just a story. It really happened. There really was an 8-year-old boy who became the king. And his dad and his granddad were really, really evil, but not him. He didn't listen to the bad people in his family. He listened to the good ones. He made the decision to seek God when he was young, to find ways to make God happy. He loved God's word and wanted to make sure he was doing things just like God wanted to be done. Not like Josiah wanted it to be done, like God wanted it to be done. And when he learned that he wasn't doing it that way, he was sad and he changed. And he influenced the people around him and made them happy too, and made them want to make God happy too. With all of these villains in his history, Josiah was a true hero. All of this really happened. And it can still happen. God uses kids and he uses young people every day. Good kids and teenagers that want to seek God and make other people around them want to seek God too. He can make them heroes. It happens. You can be that influence. You can be that hero. I hope that you've decided today, right now, to seek God and try to find ways to do things just the way that he wants them to be done. And I hope that you can encourage the people around you to do the same thing. It's going to be up to you one day. So you might as well decide today to do it right. Now, I started this sermon by saying I didn't care about the grown-ups in the audience. And I hope you know I was joking when I said that. I do care about everyone. And so does God, and so does Jesus. Regardless of how old you are, it is never too late to get your life right. It's never too late to establish a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe fix a broken relationship with Jesus that you used to have. If you need to ask forgiveness, we will pray with you. And we will pray for you. If you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we can do that too. Make the decision, like Josiah, to seek the Lord. Decide it before it's too late. Make that decision now, while we stand and while we sing.
Give me thy-